I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Anybody know what happens in Faith School? In Faith School, my spirit is fed, and my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. The scripture says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Just because you got born again doesn't mean you automatically think like God. And most people have spent some time around ungodly thinking, and it has influenced them much more than they realize. And what you have to do, though, is be exposed to the truth. And the truth is light, and the light shows up the darkness. You can, once you know the truth, you can find out the problem. They tell us that those that study, you know, counterfeiting and all that kind of stuff and help protect currency, they don't study all the variations of fake money. They study the real deal. And they know exactly the details of what it looks like. Why? Anything different from that is phony, right? Yes. It may look a lot like it, right? Well, that's what you'll see with the truth. The enemy is very, very crafty. He's very tricky, very deceptive. The Bible warns us about his subtlety. He doesn't come to the front door. He doesn't come obviously. He's sneaky. He always tries to come around your blind side, so to speak. And so, he quoted scripture to Jesus, didn't he? Yeah. And yet he's quoting it, trying to apply it in a wrong way. He's trying to twist it. We need to know the truth so well, right? That any variation off of it, we go, no, they changed that. The first part of it's right, but they changed the last part. Right?
Yes.
And the only way you're going to be able to spot that and recognize that is if you know the truth.
Yes.
And the truth will make you free. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we ask you to enlighten us to the truth of your words to the point where we're able to discern and to distinguish what is truth and what is not, that we're able by the renewing of our mind to escape conformity of this ungodly world and to distinguish, differentiate, and to know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We ask for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
I will say while we're talking about that, you got to watch out for modern translations. A lot of them are not actually translations. They are paraphrase. What do you mean by that? They are not a word-for-word translation of what God said. The writers are telling you what they think God meant. I don't want that. I want to know what he said. And I can think for myself. What about y'all? Huh? So I'm not saying you can't use one, but you need something that you can compare it to. That one of my favorites is Young's Literal Translation. And he's also the author of Young's Concordance and all that, so an obvious Hebrew and Greek scholar. And the old languages read opposite from like English and other things, and so it doesn't flow the way we think, but it's very accurate. And I like that. And so I might look into another translation, but especially if I got a question about it, I'll break out something that I know right? Is accurate of what he actually said. We must respect the word and not be loose about interchanging other words and other phrases. Let's stay with what he said.
Yes.
Hmm? Well, in order to stay with it, you got to know what he said. So get you some things that you can trust. And of course, you know, I use the King James all the time. It's a pretty good translation, I think. But again, it's a translation and a modern one if you look at the whole scope of history. And the biggest thing that you should be glad about, the author of the book lives inside you. Oh, hallelujah. And he knows what he wrote. He knows what he said. And he knows what he meant. And so if you ever have a question about something, any whatever translation, look it up. Check it out. Take just a minute. Make sure, is that what he said? And of course, if it is what he said, it will agree with the rest of the Bible.
Yes.
Hmm? It will agree, you know, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, the scripture said. So look with me again in Acts, the fourth chapter. We are continuing on our 30th reason why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. And we saw number 30, we're calling the early days or the beginning days is what I said, of the church. And in chapter 2, we saw them filled with the Spirit. We saw them living and functioning in wonderful unity. And we saw this great liberality of giving. And we see it continuing. Here in chapter 4, it's brought up again that verse 32, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. You know, Colossians said this. It said, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. It's God's will that we enjoy something, that we have all that we need and even be able to enjoy some things down here. But on the other hand, our good stuff is not here. We have that to look forward to, and everything down here, every material thing is about to go away. Even if it lasted hundreds of years, to God that's no time at all. 1,000 years to him is like a day. So everything down here is in the process of wearing out, fading away, rotting, rusting, decaying, everything. I mean, you may not like to think it, but you pay big money for a brand new car and you drive it off the lot. It's decaying. Right? Right now. You paid crazy money for some super nice clothes or whatever. They will not last forever. Right? And depending on what happens with them, they are in the process of growing older. And the Bible said that about our very own bodies. It said the outward man is decaying, but the inward man is being renewed.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Day by day. Not the outward man, the inward man. So which should we put more focus on? The thing that's going to soon be gone anyway? Or the thing that'll never be gone? The temporary, perishing, decaying, or the eternal that will never fade, never go away? Well, that's the revelation you have to give like this and to think like this. Otherwise, you don't sell your house, you don't sell a property, you don't and put that into the church and the kids. You don't do that if you value those things too much. Giving is a demonstration that I value what I'm giving this to more than the money. If I valued the money the most, I'd keep it, which is what many do. But if I'm willing to let it go, not saying I don't value it, but I value that more, I more want that to happen than I do to hold on to this. And faith will allow you to not be concerned that you're going to run out.
That's right.
And to realize that this is not just giving away, it's sowing. And after sowing, there is
reaping.
And reaping, you don't just reap what you sowed. You reap it multiplied. If you believe that, you're not crying and depressed when you're giving. You're looking forward to a harvest. Now, not everybody believes that. But these people obviously were glad and sowing and giving, and the result, verse 34, was there neither was there any among them that lacked. And verse 35, they laid down the sale of these things, and distribution was made. Go to 1 Timothy 6 again, please. 1 Timothy 6. He said in verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Now here he mentions things in a positive light, that they can be enjoyable, right?
Yes.
Things. But it's prefaced with, don't trust in them. Don't look to that as your security. And what you do with it, though, is verse 18, you do good. Well, the more resources you have, more good you can do. So why wouldn't the Lord want you and I to have more resources? He does. And does he need some rich people in the church? Does he need a bunch of rich people in the church? Well, what are we reading about? People that owned houses, buildings, properties. They owned them free and clear, outright. Well, they had some level of wealth to be able to get it, to be able to keep it, be able to pay it off, be able to own it free and clear, be able to maintain it, and be able to sell it and do what they wanted to with it. God used that in the early days of the church, didn't he? The beginning day, he used it. And then he held it up. He inspired the writer to record it, so you and I could be talking about it all these years later.
Yes.
Right? And why? He wants us to know it. Why? So we can do it.
Yes.
He wants us to know, this is my will. And so we should believe for resources far above our basic necessities.
Yes.
Shouldn't we?
Yes.
We should believe to acquire things. Acquisition. We should believe to own things.
Yes.
Pay for them.
Yes.
Own them outright.
Yes.
Free and clear.
Yes.
Why? Because then God can control them through us.
Yes.
If he tells us, give this to so and so, liquidate this and give part of this here and part of this here, we don't have to call somebody and ask if we can do it or not. We own it.
Yes.
It's in our control.
Yes,
so we can obey him immediately.
Yes.
And this was what God was using to cause all these thousands of people throughout the church there in Jerusalem to get to the place where nobody had any need. And were these people that were sowing these big seeds, were they running out?
No.
Were they becoming poor themselves?
No.
There's no reason to think that, and there's every reason to think they didn't, because the Lord had said, whatever you give up, whatever you leave for the kingdom and the gospel, Jesus said in Mark 10, you'll receive 100-fold now in this time. Do we believe that?
Yes, we do.
I do.
I
said, I do. He said, charge them that are rich in this world. If you read the context, the implication is they're going to stay rich. Huh? Elsewise, the instruction would just be, see how quick you can get poor. Right? And then you don't have the resulting problems with those evil riches. Because if you're going to continue to be rich, then you got to continue to watch yourself and don't get snooty.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And make sure I don't trust, I don't care how many millions I've got or whatever, I'm not trusting that.
Right.
I'm trusting God.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
And my priority with my things is my stewardship, my distributorship. Because that's what he says, do good. Do good. I tell you, being the Lord's distributor is more fun than eating when you're hungry.
Yes.
It is. I'm telling you, it's, you know, that somebody is praying, believing for something, needing something, and here you are one morning getting ready to do something, and the Lord said, prompt you. I want you to go over there and take care of that. And there's been times, you know, would you like if there's some big project mission thing going on or helping people or people in need or preaching the gospel and it's, this is being vision communicated in the church or whatever or ministry, would you like your biggest issue to be, okay, Lord, they're about to receive the offering here. What do you want me to do? You want me to do all of it?
Oh.
Half of it? What you want me to do, Lord? Huh? Is that fun or is that fun?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes,
Phyllis and I came from a place where, you know, very poor. And, you know, I know a few years after we were in the ministry, I saw some other elders of our ministers that sowed some big seeds and publicly. And we wouldn't have known about it if it hadn't been public, but it inspired us.
Yes.
And we saw a church and a ministry sow into a school of ministry to help send the gospel out, $50,000. Now, this would have been back in 1980, I guess it was. And Phyllis and I mean, we were staying in the cheapest little place you could stay in, and we didn't even stop and go to the restaurant during in between services. We just went out in the hallway, and they had these liquid nachos, you know. That's what we were eating. That's what our money was. And we, you know, we were not giving much at all in the offerings. We didn't have anything. And we looked at each other, and it just rose up in my spirit. I said, one day.
Yes.
One day. What, 50,000? I mean, it might as well have been 50 million to us at that point. But I was stirred. Because I had been hearing in the meeting things that were building my faith. And we'd been hearing things that God wanted us to have. Some resources. And I'm not wanting this to play big shot or just to stick it in a corner and hide it somewhere and try to keep it forever. I want to give that. And she had the same thing in her spirit. And we said, one day. One day. Well, it didn't happen the next day or the next week. Or even the next year. But it wasn't too long. We sowed $50.
Right.
And then it wasn't too long. We sowed $500. Right. Come on, y'all with me?
Yeah.
And it wasn't too long. We sowed $5,000. Man, we were shouting on that one, I tell you. Buddy, buddy, we were $5,000. And then, hallelujah, do you know what came next? Do you know what happened? There came a time. It took a few years. But there came a time when we brought a $50,000 offering to put in the gospel. Well, we had to have $50,000 or we couldn't have given $50,000. But before we had it, we had to believe God wanted us to have it. Or you'd have never gotten past the five or the 50 or whatever. This, what we're talking about, what we're preaching about, this is where these great things start. You know, the scripture said, I would that you'd prosper and be in health. How? Even as your soul prosper. Something, somebody said, well, I wish that would happen for me. It don't come by wishing. Wanting. Desire's good, but it takes more than desire. You got to have something happen in your heart to where instead of being so scared and so contracted, you got to have an opening up of faith and vision. You get a glimpse and a vision of how big your Father is and how good He is, then He wants to use you, and He will bless you and make you a blessing and use you as a distributor, somebody to minister not just to, but through. Raise a hand and say, Lord, that's me. I volunteer. I want to be a distributor. Somebody you use to bless others. He said, charge them that are rich in this world. Now, if his objective was to get them out of being rich, then you would word and say this in a different way. Otherwise, this verse wouldn't apply to them for any time at all. And God's always ahead of things, yes, not behind. So the implication is they're rich and they're going to continue to be rich. Do you see this or not?
Yes, sir.
And you need to have an ongoing thing of no matter how God blesses you, how big your house is, how nice your car and clothes are, whatever it is, you don't get high-minded. And you never get to thinking that you're better than somebody else because you have more. You know, having a nice car doesn't make you anybody. Having a nice house, you're still you. Right? And anybody with the money could have the same thing. It don't make you something different. You are who and what you are because of what you are on the inside. And because of what God has done for you and bought and paid for you. Those that are rich, don't be high-minded. Don't trust in the uncertain riches, but trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. The great thing about a big pipe that's always flowing, full of water, it's flowing in, it's flowing out, it's always flowing in, it's always flowing out, and it's always full. Is that right? If it's always flowing in and always flowing out, it's always full. And that's the life of a distributor. You're always full. And he said that they do good, that they be rich in good works. The great thing about being rich is that you can be rich in doing good things.
Yes. Hmm?
Yes. That's not a negative thing. It's a good thing. The more resources you have, you know, recently throughout the COVID thing, the Lord blessed us. We didn't have to close our doors. We didn't get behind on anything. For one thing, our buildings were paid for and our stuff was paid for. So we didn't get behind on payments. There were no payments to get behind on. But a lot of struggling was going on in a lot of places. And we knew that. And so we opened up in one of our larger meetings for folks to sow into what we called catch up and get ahead offerings. And so a substantial amount of money came in. Well, from that time until even recently, things would come up, we find out about it, and been able to sow into 50 different churches and ministries that were losing their buildings, are losing their properties. A bunch of them were actually much behind and about to get kicked out, or something was so damaged that they were being condemned, or this and that. And we were able to talk to them and able to say, you know, what do you got to have? And, well, I got to have this by X amount. And we say, well, it'll be there today.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Yes.
That's fun.
Yes.
That's enjoyable. That, right? 50 churches, a bunch of them that would have, their doors would have been closed. But if we believed that sometimes God wants you broke, we wouldn't preach what we preach. And we wouldn't, our people wouldn't have the faith they have for this, and we wouldn't have the resources that we have. Can you see what people are fighting when they are mock and fight what they call the so-called prosperity message, a prosperity gospel? Well, it sure ain't no poverty gospel. Y'all with me or not? God's a good God. Well, you should give, you should give, you should give, they say. With what? You got to have something. You got to receive so you can give. And oh, if you receive a lot, you can be rich in good works. And you can be a blessing and you can be an answer to prayer. And it can just get bigger and bigger than you ever. I mean, you know, 40 years ago, Phyllis and I never imagined we'd be in a place where we could be a part of that and helping to save these ministries. Never imagined that. I just described to you we were eating the liquid nachos. Is that right? Out in the hall. Well, you ain't helping 50 churches when you're doing that. Is that right? I mean, we're believing for gas to get home. But in a matter of a few decades, God can bring you from that to being rich, rich, rich in good works. Somebody say, that's me. That's me. And our time's up again. Well, say it out loud. I live by faith.
I walk by faith.
I overcome
the
world
by faith.
I am strong
in faith,
giving glory to God.
We'll
see you next time in Faith School. Are you still shouting about being a distributor? I know we are. I am. I always like to, at the end of the week, speak over, pray over our partners. I know a number of you are partners with us in faith and finance and those kind of things. Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, it's a blessing to receive, especially when you're in need or even in just in good things you desire. It's a blessing to receive, but there's another level of blessing, and that's being in a position to give. It requires even greater resources. I'm believing that for you. I'm praying and speaking that over you. Father, cause extra resources to come into the lives of our partners and friends. I call for it to come. We lay hold of it. Out of this world system, go, ministering spirits, and cause it to come. Satan, take your hands off of it. You can't stop it. Lord, cause it to come into the hands, into the possession, into the control of our partners and those believing and watching me now. And show them and us how to be effective distributors to bless others in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. More blessed is what you are. We'll see you next time here in Faith School.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.